A decade ago, a new patient who spoke only French would have been like a weight crushing my shoulders. I'd know that I'd have to spend more than half my allotted time with him scrambling for an interpreter. Fortunately, in the last few years, Bellevue had leaped into the modern age of language interpretation and hired simultaneous interpreters in the most common languages. They were secreted somewhere. Maybe they weren't even in the hospital at all. Who knew? But all I had to do was pick up my phone and dial extension 1800. "Welcome to the Medical Interpretation Service," the recorded voice would say. "Press 1 for Spanish. Press 2 for Mandarin. Press 3 for Cantonese. Press 4 for Fukienese. Press 5 for Bengali. Press pound 1 for Polish. Press pound 2 for French. Press pound 3 for Creole." It's not that French was entirely foreign to me. I did study it in junior high school and even competed in the 8th grade French spelling bee. Every time I had a West African patient, I was tempted to try to speak French, but I was always reminded of my experience with Aristide Maisonde during one of my first years as an attending at Bellevue. "Je me," I'd stuttered to Mr. Maisonde, the serious young man in a gray wool overcoat standing before me with ramrod posture. "Je m'appelle Dr. Ofri." There, I'd gotten it out. The language of Descartes, Voltaire, and Balzac had clearly vacated my cortex. Despite those years of French classes and one brief visit to Paris, "je m'appelle" was the best I could come up with, and even that was a struggle. Pushed aside by the overwhelming necessity for Spanish in our clinic, further dilapidated by decades of disuse, my French shriveled until I could not conjure up a single word beyond stating my name. I was appalled at my brain's porosity. Mr. Maisonde smiled politely. No doubt he was accustomed and perhaps resigned to the challenges of communication here in America. I gestured for him to sit and tried to signal a polite "just a moment" as I started down the list of options. First was calling the office of our volunteer interpreters. "Sorry," the person who answered said. "Our French interpreter is no longer with us." I hoped he had merely quit his job and not met an untimely end. I asked around in the waiting room, but nobody spoke French. I canvassed the clinic staff. Only Spanish and Chinese to be found. Back at my office, I resorted to the final option and called AT&T. When a French-accented voice graced my ear, I exhaled a sigh of relief. Mr. Maisonde and I took turns on the phone, and I learned that he was 24 years old and from Brazzaville in Congo. He spent an extra cycle of translation ensuring that I understood that this was the Congo that used to be French Congo, not the Congo that used to be Zaire. He was generally healthy, but his main concern was a burning in his stomach, especially after he ate. Even though we smiled gamely at each other as we handed the phone back and forth, it was hard to say that we were really having a conversation. It was more like we were each having a conversation with the polite but businesslike interpreter. And that's what our conversation was, polite and businesslike. I asked the questions, he supplied the answers. I kept my utterances brief, not wishing to overload the operator, and I sensed Mr. Maisonde doing the same. I was also cognizant of the cost of the services, so I tried to be as efficient as possible. I even ventured to tell my patient his probable diagnosis and treatment during this initial conversation, something I normally would never do before the physical exam. But I didn't want to have to call the operator back, so I explained that he most likely had acid reflux, and barring any information to the contrary that I might glean from the physical exam, that I would give him a medicine for acid and see him again in my clinic in 1 month. We said goodbye to our AT&T friend, and I gestured him up onto the exam table. As I palpated his abdomen and listened to his heart, Mr. Maisonde asked in halting English, "You speak little Francais?" "No," I shook my head, regretting the years of study that had never succeeded in cementing my French. "Solamente español." Español? He said with a broad grin. Yo hablo español. Spanish? He spoke Spanish? For the rest of our visit, we chatted happily, if a bit awkwardly, in our mutual non-native language. I learned that he'd studied Spanish at his university in Congo, and I told him that I'd studied on trips to Latin America. He told me how he had emigrated from Africa 2 years ago, but had first lived in Canada, and how different Canada was from America. I told him that I had once lived in Montreal, and how I'd struggled with the Quebecois French. We laughed over our common difficulties with the slang street Spanish in New York. And then we were able to review his medical issues and treatment, and I could be confident that he understood. It had never dawned on me that Mr. Maisonde might speak Spanish. I had assumed that, like most West Africans, Mr. Maisonde spoke only French in addition to his native language in Congo. And apparently it had never dawned on Mr. Maisonde that I might speak Spanish. I guess he'd assumed that most white Americans didn't speak anything but English. Hasta luego, he said, shaking my hand. Ojalá que pasa un buen día, I replied with a small surge of pride that I'd nailed the subjunctive. I knew that Mr. Maisonde would appreciate the linguistic leap that grammatical construct had entailed. Mr. Maisonde left my office to make his appointment with the front desk staff. Most of the Bellevue clerks were Hispanic, bilingual in Spanish and English. Mr. Maisonde, a native Congolese who spoke scant English, would have no trouble at all arranging his health care.